Okay, I'd like to introduce the first speaker. I've known Letitia a long time. She's been to a lot of these retreats, and I'm looking forward to hearing her message. She is from by Addicts for Addicts Group of NA in State College. Come on, Letitia!
I'm an addict named Letitia.
Hi, Letitia.
I'd like to, first thank the committee for asking me to come and speak. This is my first women's wrap. I've never done one before. I've never been to one, so this is a new experience for me. My clean date is November 4th, 2000. This is my... I think it's my fourth retreat here, I think. When we got here yesterday, we were supposed to be tenting. And when we got here, I said, well, maybe we'll stay in Brocker Hall because it looked nasty. And I'm really not wanting to get wet and cold. And when we were at registration, it was said, hey, we got room in the cabin. Why didn't you come to the cabin? Well, I am in a cabin, and I think I'm going to be cabinet forever from now on, My using started at a young age. I got clean in my 30s. I've had kids, I had my kids while I was using, and two of my kids walked with me through recovery. I have three children, two of them are actively using, one is not, and she gave me my first grandchild 18 months ago. I've gotten married in recovery twice. the first one was out of desperation because I wanted somebody to take care of and somebody to love me back. But it was more of me taking care of him than being loved back. So that relationship, went to the tubes. Happily married now. My husband's in recovery. So we're both walking this, walking this path. Recovery has been great for me. I've had my ups, I've had my downs, I've had surgeries in recovery. Currently right now I'm taking care of a 78 year old man that has vascular dementia, has Alzheimer's, Parkinson's and mental health problems, and there's days I just want to go use. To be honest, I just want to go use because it's a lot. It's a lot of stress. My husband has Crohn's disease, so that's more stress on top of it. But through this program, through the women in this program, through my sponsor, working the steps, and my higher power is God, as I choose to call him, walks with me and helps me through this process. And I am so grateful. Like Sandy said, I've known Sandy for 4 years now, I think. And every time I see her, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to see all the women here this weekend and to be able to talk to them. Me by nature, when I'm not using, I seclude myself and stick to myself and don't really want people around me, and I have to force myself to get out and intermingle and be a part of. But when I was out there using, I was the exact opposite. I was the middle of everything, What was yours was mine and mine's mine. And that's just the way it was. And I used to live and used to, you know, I lived to use and used to live. I did everything and anything I could to get my next fix. I don't do that today. I spend more time with my family than what I ever did. I was presented with an opportunity in October to go see my mother that is in a Alzheimer's ward in the state of Indiana that my father placed her in 2 years ago, but never told any of us kids where she was at. Told us he put her in the hospital and that was it. He finally, in October, gave my older brother and I the opportunity to go see our mother. Since then, I have seen my mother twice a month. So we take trips twice a month out to the state of Indiana just to see my mother. My father lives out there. I stop and see him. He don't like it, but he'll get over it, you know. The last visit that we went, he was having open heart surgery, and he belittled me, yelled at me, treated me like I was a 5-year-old child. And I looked at him and I said, I still love you. You may not want me here, but I need to be here. And he didn't understand that. And it's only because of this program that I was able to tell him that, you know. And it felt so good to let that out, to say, I need to be here for me. You may not want me here, but I need to be. He didn't let me know where he was having surgery. I stayed in town. I texted him, said, I'm here. This is where I'm staying. You don't want me at the hospital. That's fine. I'm still going to go see my mother before I leave town. So it's not a wasted trip. And I think that was the last time I talked to my father, and that was in June. But hopefully, you know, I can rebuild those bridges because he's a very strong-willed person just like I am. And he has his own demons that are wrecking him that... I can only hope that he can find recovery like I have. Let's see, what else? I think I'm the only woman that receives animals for Mother's Day, for their birthdays, for anniversaries, for anything, any holiday. I expect a new animal at my house. Normally they're 2-legged animals. Sometimes they're 4-legged animals. I live on a farm. I have goats, I have chickens, I have dogs. Next ones, I think we're getting pigs and something else. I don't know. I'm scared. Because there's always something new coming in my house. When we got here yesterday, I normally, when we go to retreats or anything, I turn my cell phone off and I don't look at it. And I left my cell phone in the truck, and I just happened to look at my cell phone, and my cell phone was blown up by my daughter. And that was 2 hours. She was blowing it up. She started blowing it up at 5, and this was 7:30 that I looked at it. I'm like, what the hell is going on? You know, I get the 911 messages, the emergencies, and all this stuff. I get hold of her. She said, I tried to get hold of all the girls and find out where you were and what was going on and da-da-da. I said, I'm at a retreat, and you know I don't answer phones. And she said, well, I have something to tell you. And I'm like, what? What's wrong with the baby? What's going on? When my granddaughter was born, her left eye would not open. Her eyelid wouldn't open, and we didn't know why. Well, we found out that in probably about 5 days she has to go in and have eye surgery done. They have to put rubber bands on her eyelids to make her eyelids open. And then for the next month, her eyelids aren't going to shut fully. So that child ain't going to sleep. I'm hoping she does, but, you know, so my daughter's flipping out in Delaware going, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? What's going to, you know? I'm like, chill out, you know? You know your higher power has control of what's going on and everything's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. I said, but find out more information before you let this doctor do any type of surgery to her. So in a couple of weeks, I guess I'm going down to Delaware to help take care of a child, which is my life. You know, I love my grandchildren. I love my kids. I love my husband's kids. They're like mine. We're finally able to have that family unit that we didn't have when we were out there using. I don't know. There's just so much, you know, so much going on and so much happening, and I'm just so grateful for this program and everything that has been given to me in this program, and things that I am able to do and I'm able to give back. My husband and I sat, you know, in a home group in it's in Dubois, but we're part of the State College area. We sat in a home group that is just him and I week after week after week. It's just two people. Every once in a while, we'll get a straggler in and hope they stick and stay. And then they leave. And then we're sitting there again, and we're like, okay, what do we do? What do we do? And I'm like, we have to keep these doors open. You know, that's what was done for us before we came in here, was those doors were kept open. You know, whether it was by one or two people, those doors were always kept open. And that was part of the service that my sponsor had always told me. You know, you keep that door open for those, for the addicts still out there looking for a meeting or need a meeting. And that's what I'm doing. I got into service early on. And have been in service ever since. I can't see myself not being in service. I think I'll go stir crazy if I don't do something for Narcotics Anonymous after everything that's been done for me. I haven't gotten flyers out yet, but I'm gonna make an announcement. The 2nd of September, which is Labor Day weekend, it's NA World Unity Day at Blackmo Shannon State Park in Phillipsburg. Is a picnic. All are welcome to attend. We're going to have speakers. Bring food. And if you need more information on that, you can see me afterwards or phone numbers. But, you know, we try to put things on and put things together to try to get that message out there to addicts that are still suffering, and also spend time with other addicts, because we know how it is being in a little town in the middle of nowhere and nobody's around to support. I do asphalt recovery. If nobody knows what asphalt recovery is, it's where we drive everywhere to go help meetings and help new addicts. And my husband started a Facebook page called Asphalt Recovery. We go to New Orleans to conventions and things, and that's where we learn about asphalt recovery. You know, if you don't get it, it's your own asphalt. So, you know, and that's what the old timers used to do. They drove everywhere to make, you know, to make meetings because they weren't accessible. You know, I've heard old timers say about only 4 meetings being in the state of Pennsylvania. They drove all over, you know, to make meetings. And that's what I think is so great about this program, is that anybody's welcome and anybody can walk into a meeting and say they're a member when they want to be a member. And I'm just so grateful for everything. I think that's all I have. I don't have...
Okay.
Thank you.
Our next speaker, to me, from By Any Means Necessary, the group in Altoona. I love your passion and for this program, and I can't wait to hear what you have to share. Come on down.
Really?
Yeah. I'm Demi. I'm an addict.
Hi, Demi.
I just want to thank the committee for thinking about me, especially for Women's Wrap, women's plural. This is my first Women's Wrap too, and I'm really grateful to be doing this. So I was thinking when they asked me, and the first thought that came to my mind was, this is a really good chance for me to get emotionally vulnerable. And like, my clean date is 7/22/13. I just celebrated 4 years last month, which is a blessing all in itself, because like, I could not get a day clean ever. So I was raised by my grandparents, and like, you know, addiction runs in my family. Like, my mom is an addict, you know, my sister's an addict, my uncle's an addict, my aunt was an addict, my biological father's an addict. So it just, like, really, you know, goes through our whole family line. And obviously it affected me growing up, because when I was 18 months old, my mom dropped me off of my grandparents and I did not see her for a long period of time. So my 18-month-old self was like, where's my mommy? Where's my mommy? And, like, I remember going into kindergarten and, like, my grandpa's dropping me off and it's like, everybody has a mom and a dad, and that's when I started really thinking, where's my mom and dad? Why aren't they taking me to school? So I had feelings of being different. And, you know, when I got into school and, like, further down the road, like, I started going to my friend's house, and, like, I was going to everybody's mom's or dad's house, and it was really starting to set in, like, I'm different. I'm different. And, like, what's really going on? I was a little girl who would wait for the landline phone to ring and my grandma to pick it up, and I would slowly pick it up after my grandma answered just to figure out what was going on with my mom. Because nobody would tell me anything. Everything was a secret all the time. So, like, I started figuring some stuff out about my mom, and, like, I didn't know exactly what she was doing, but, like, I knew it was bad. I was too young to understand exactly what was going on with her. After about, like, 5-6 years, I started going to my mom's, and, like, I was introduced to a different lifestyle. Like, I was very fortunate growing up with my grandparents. They gave me everything that I've ever wanted. We traveled all over the place. And then when I started going to my mom's on the weekends and stuff, like, she gave me the option to run free. And, like, I didn't have that at my grandma and grandpa's. You know, I was raised like I was born in the 1950s, sit up straight, pull your hair up, why don't you have makeup on, you're gaining weight. Like, and that really affected me as a child. Like, still to this day, there is not an hour that goes by where I don't think about my weight and, like, my food consumption. I need to be perfect. Everything that I do has to be perfect. If nothing's ever good enough, you or me. And, like, that pedestal, not only do I put you on, my pedestal is 10 times higher, and it leaves me always disappointed in myself. And, like, that's been my whole struggle my whole life. And I think, you know, like, my grandpa was my dad. He was my everything. Like, he golfed, every single day, and I used to get so mad because he spent all this time at the golf course. I'm like, you need to come home and take me to the pool. You know, I need you to take me to the pool, and that's what we did. Like, he took me all these places. Like, we would travel a half hour just because I wanted to go to this special park. And he would sit there and, you know, do his crossword puzzles or his logic puzzles and just watch me. You know, I slept beside this man for 14 years of my life. When I tell you my mom dropped me off at 18 months old, like, I started sleeping with my grandpa that night. When I was 14 years old, I can tell you, it was May 2nd. It was about 10 after 5. We just ordered some pizza. I played hooky from school because I didn't want to go to school, and like that addict behavior was already starting in me. But I didn't know what it was. I just wanted to stay home. I didn't want to go to school. And I remember I made up like this thing, like this concoction of what looked like, you know, puke, and put it seriously, and put it on the, you know, on the carpet. I was like, oh, I'm sick, and they were just coming back from a funeral. And I guess my grandpa took a, you know, a few shots of whiskey or whatever, and blah blah blah. Nothing, you know, nothing serious. So we ordered pizza. It's about 10 after 5. And my grandma's like, go get your grandpa, you know, you gotta go get the pizza. And I was like, okay. So I'm running around the house, and like, I can't find him. And like, he had his own little den downstairs. I couldn't find him there either. And I went outside, and I'm like, where is my grandpa? And here, when I went downstairs, I didn't see him the first time, but like, he fell over and had a heart attack. And like, at that moment of my life, it has changed. Like, he waited for me. Like, I heard him take his last breath. And I was screaming, please don't leave me. And like, I knew it was happening. And like, as they're, you know, I'm sitting on the steps, at first I ran out of the house, and like, I just didn't know what to do with myself. I ran up the street, and then I ran back, and I'm sitting on the steps, and like, the ambulance and everybody's there, and I'm thinking, who do I have? This man is my life. He is my everything. And God took him away from me as they're bagging him up and taking him out. Me and my grandma didn't have the greatest relationship because she was really hard on me. You know, very critical. I love her to death. When I talk about this, like, if you're older, you understand, you know. Like, she was just very hard on me. Like, I needed to just do stuff, like, perfect and be this person that I really wasn't, but I was really trying to be at the same time. And I remember her standing there looking at me. She's standing on the foyer, and I'm sitting on the step. And she's like, to me, you have me. And, like, I questioned, like, do I? Because, like, I feared her. I was so afraid of my grandma that, because nothing was ever good enough. Nothing was ever good enough. And we just didn't have that relationship. So that night, like, I slept in bed alone. And like I said, I slept beside him for 14 years. I'm not that vulnerable age to begin with. And, like, I got up the next morning, and I attempted to go to school, and like, it just didn't work out. So I went home. 2 weeks after that, I started using. I completely switched my group of friends, and you know, like, I remember my one friend called my other friend, like, you guys were never there for her. We were the ones that were here. Like, why is she hanging out with you? And they're like, oh, blah blah blah, you know, whatever, you know, 14, 15 year old girl stuff. And, like, at that moment, like, I found freedom in a substance. You know, I felt freedom. I felt relief, and it was like, I can breathe. And it gave me that false sense that everything was going to be okay. And, like, I believed this lie. So I continued, you know, the progression picked up very quickly for me. I have a lot of trauma, a lot of fucking trauma, excuse my language, but, you know, at 15 years old, like I told myself, I'm allow myself to get emotionally vulnerable. At 15 years old, I took a handful of a lot of pills that make you black out, right? And I went home with my friend who was, you know, significantly older than I was, a gay man. I went home. And I went to his house. I woke up the next morning with no fucking underwear on. I went to the bathroom. I was like, something happened. I went back in, and I sat down, and I looked at him, and I said, did something happen? He was like, no, Demi, I promise, blah, 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 all this stuff. And, like, I went home, I turned the bath on, I was supposed to get my hair done. I did, I went and got my hair done. My grandma's like, where were you? You stayed out all night. I'm trying to be okay, and I'm just sitting in my bathtub crying. My purity is gone. So, believe it or not, a year later after this, we were both in the back seat of a car. Mind you, I am still hanging out with a person that fucking raped me. We were sitting in the back of the car. He looked at me and he said to me, I did. And at that moment, I had fucking forgiveness. As crazy as that sounds, he told me the truth, and I had not complete forgiveness, but I had, okay, thank you. But that just fueled it more and more. Like, I hated men. I questioned my own sexuality. Like, I'm never dating a man again. I really hate gay men. Still to this day, standing here, I still feel funny when I'm in the presence of a gay man, because I don't trust them completely. I viewed them for a long time as evil. So, you know, I was continuing. I was playing all these sports. I loved basketball. That was my other sense of escape. I got sent away. Shortly after that, I really just went downhill. My school, you know, chimed in and was like, hey, what's going on? Your grades are really dropping. You're not playing sports. You're not yourself. Blah, blah, blah. School psychologist came in, UA'd me, and off I went to my first facility, which was an adolescent facility. And that was when I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous. But I was too young and too naive to understand what was going on. Like, I was reading Just for Today at 15 years old, but not understanding that I was an addict. So I got out of there, I kind of got my stuff together, and like, I just party on weekends and smoke weed on the weekends. I ended up, thankfully, I'm grateful that I graduated high school. I don't know how I managed to do it, but I did. I really think that basketball gave me the motivation just to go to school, because I really love to play that sport. Like, I used to cry. Like, my last game that I played, I was so devastated, because my junior year, like I said, I took a year off because I really went off the deep end when all that stuff happened. I was in the gym every damn day, busting my ass, trying to catch up to everybody, and that shit paid off. Now that I look back, like, if I try hard enough, like, I can accomplish something. And I did, and my coach was like, yeah, you can go to Penn State there and play, blah, 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 all these. And my excuse was, I can't handle academics in the sport. But really, what was underneath that excuse is, I want to party. I want to party and, you know, really get out of my grandma's house. She drives me nuts, but I love her. I love her, but she wanted to have control so much over my life to where, but she was right. She was right this whole entire time. She was right, but I didn't want to believe her because I thought I knew everything. At 15 years old, I thought that I knew everything. Imagine that. Like all of us. We know everything. You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, you were right. I went to college, and I made it about a year and a half. Drugs just became more important. The whole lifestyle just became more important. I've ended up in Newcastle, Pennsylvania for 2.5 years of my life. I met this guy who was significantly older than me. I'm talking like 15 years older than me. He's going through a divorce. He sold drugs. He thought I was cute. I was like, bingo! Woo! Hit the jackpot! Yeah, so where do I go? I go from college to Newcastle to ruin my life. And here, like, I got myself into this terrible, terrible, terrible relationship. I understand now that I did play a part in it, but when I first got clean, like, I wanted to blame him for everything. Everything. I got introduced to this whole different other lifestyle, running drugs. And then it became a game where he didn't want to give me no drugs because he had that, he wanted control. So I'd literally be in the bed. He would try to hide all this shit from me, right? This is the board in the morning on the bed. Slowly rolling out of the bed and just shaking the shit out of me. You know what I mean? Shaking, I'm like, where's the jingle? You know? And I would always find it and then, you know, get back into bed and pretend. But, like, it was sad. It was so sad that I was a prisoner in a room for 30 days, man. For 30 days. I was in this room. I got a dog. I was afraid of dogs. I was afraid of dogs, but I get this little 5-week-old pit bull who saved my life at that time. I had to bottle feed this thing, okay? And, like, you know, like a baby, seriously. And my one friend was, she was like, Denise, you're afraid of dogs and you got a pit bull. I'm like, I know. Well, we're going to try it out. And, like, I fell in love with this dude. And that was the first time I experienced love that was genuine. Again, like, I'm talking from, like, when my grandpa died. That was the first time I was capable of loving something or somebody. And he was just my gift from God for me to something, like, here you go, Demi. Here's this little innocent thing that can make you feel perfect. Because I lost the sense of, why am I even here? I want to die. I don't want to do this anymore. I cannot stand who I am. We were just actually talking about this the other day. We were driving and a friend of mine was reading out of the Yes. Thank you. I'm just paraphrasing. Basically what it said is, you know, we have a moment of clarity when we're using. And I remember not wanting to get high, but didn't have a choice. And I would get high and not want to be high. And I didn't want to live because in my mind, I don't want this lifestyle anymore. I just want to be clean, but I don't know how to get clean and stay clean. I was always a girl that had, from my hometown, that always had so much potential. Look at her, that's so sad. And like, that stuck with me. Like, all I'll ever be is a sad story or whatever. A lost soul. And I remember I was in and out of rehab throughout this process, too, and, you know, I was a 10-dayer. Like, I'd go for 10 days and be like, can't do it. The detox meds are gone. I got to go, too. Because I couldn't sit with myself because all those feelings that I've never dealt with would hit me all at once, and I just could not handle it whatsoever, and I would just have to go. And I would literally, in my mind, think, you can do this. You can stay clean. You don't need to be here. This is overwhelming. This is overwhelming me. I can do it by myself. And then as soon as I got back out into the, you know, reality, I could never do it. I'm just going to drink. Yeah. Let me drink. And then my thought process is, oh, well, now I'm drunk, so now I need some dope to sober me up. It always, more, more, more. Once again, nothing. I always needed more. Just one substance wasn't good enough. I need everything else to accompany it. Because I need to have a party all by myself. In my brain, I like to be like this. You know, not knowing which direction to go. all over the place, because when I was all over the place in my brain from substances, I felt relief because it was all false and I just couldn't handle all these feelings. I went to this last rehab back in 2013, and when I first got there, the night before I went, you know, I wanted to die. I didn't want to get clean because I didn't think I could stay clean. I just wanted to die. And when I got there, like that ex that I was talking about, he would always come and get me after the, you know, the 10 days. Well, here, God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. I call his phone, nobody's answering, blah, blah, blah. My family's happy that I'm in rehab because they know I'm safe and they can sleep at night knowing if, you know, they're going to get a phone call whether I'm dead or not. So I'm calling, nothing answers. His mom answers the phone eventually and was like, he's in jail. And I started crying. I was like, I'm not getting off of this mountain. Nobody's coming to get me. I don't even know how I got in here. I slept. I just woke up. They're like, we're here. And I'm looking around. I'm like, I don't even know how to get out of here if I wanted to. So, it was a process. Like, I was so sick. I don't know what I did to my body. I don't know. It was terrible. 45 days, I was miserable, thinking that feeling that I was feeling was never going to go away. Once again, I wanted to kill myself. Eventually, I woke up one morning, and that was my first spiritual awakening. I felt good physically, and I just woke up happy. I'm like, you know what? I can do this. I can do this. Be easy on yourself. And like I left there and, you know, went to a halfway house and still was on the, you know, one day for me, you know, it's day by day just like it is for everybody else. One day I had one foot in, the other day I just didn't know if I was like, nope, can't do it. I hate this place. Somebody's got to get me out of here. I can't follow direction. Everything was always handed to me. I didn't know how to exactly work for something. I just expected people to hand me 30 years of recovery. Here you go. You tried. You were surrounded. You know? And that didn't happen. And I was like, why can I just not understand how people get clean and stay clean? And I started coming around more, and then eventually, like, I fell in love with Narcotics Anonymous. Because I seen it working in people. And I was so mad at God. Like, I'm a firm believer in God. And that's, when I came in here, that wasn't even in existence. I was mad. I believed, but I was mad. The resentment was so deep that, how could you do this to me? How could you let these things that happened to me happen? Why would you take the only man that I've ever had that's shown me consistency in my life from me? Well, I started, you know, like, going to meetings. My faith started to evolve through the power of the group. The power of the group restored my faith into believing in something. And then next thing you know, I'm doing a second step, and I'm just, I believe in myself. I could not believe that I thought those things. Like, I believe in myself. That's a miracle, because I'm always doubting myself. So, you know, things really started to take off for me. I had this little short black man sponsor me at first, because there wasn't a lot of women in the area, and the women who were there didn't, you know, they didn't really like me. I made a choice to get into a relationship of 5 months clean. Was it the best choice that I could have made? Probably not. But we're still together. It works. You know, not all the time. I'm just justifying my actions up here right now. But I understand why they do say that, because at 18 months clean, I found myself picking up a key tag and didn't know who I was. His validation was not working for me anymore. I found myself picking up that pink IP. And I was like, oh, this is why. I didn't get to know who I was as self. And then 3 weeks later, after I celebrated 18 months, I found out I was pregnant. And I'm like, no wonder I'm fucking crazy. You know? I was going through these feelings. I'm like, why do I feel like this right now? Why do I feel like this? I feel I have, I'm in the first week of being clean all over again. And they told me that I could never have kids. Ever. Here I am with a 19-month-old child. And, you know, I need to say this. The only time I wanted to use and actually entertain the thought was when I was pregnant. My pregnancy wasn't like, oh, look at, you know, the belly and grateful, blah, 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 blah. You know, I was grateful, but something in my brain chemistry wasn't right to where I was happy that I was pregnant, but I was literally crazy. I don't know if it was the hormones, but, you know, my significant other always said, he's like, Demi, if you ever get pregnant again, I'm going to have to go to counseling. And, like, it's the truth. Like, I put him through hell, and, you know, I am grateful. I have to say this. I am grateful for him because he is the first male that has shown me consistency and nothing but unconditional love. And he doesn't receive that all the time on my end. Which, you know, I'm blessed in that area. I really am. You know, after I had Orion, like, I was really postpartum. Really postpartum. And they told me when I was 5 months pregnant, like, you should probably get on some meds right now. And I'm like, no, I don't want to take anything. I cannot. There's a child. Like, you know, take, enter. No. No, I'm not doing that. And, you know, I have some other issues, too, you know, outside of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I went unmedicated for 2 years when I probably should have been medicated. And, once again, why am I crazy? Yeah. So, after I had Orion, like, the instant that he came out of me, it started instantly. And I completely could not leave my house. I could not leave my house. I could, you know, it manifested in, it's not just depression, people, okay? It's not just depression. I became severely OCD. Severely OCD. I could not, there's a dish in the sink. I'd run up and down the steps 400 times before I could leave the house just because I don't even know why. I just needed to check all this stuff and blah, 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 blah. I did not go to the store alone with my son for 9 months. I could not get myself to the point where I felt okay enough to go to the store with my son and make it through it. It sounds really like, why? Because I was crippled in fear. I was crippled in fear of something was going to happen. He was going to have a mental breakdown. Then I'm going to have a mental breakdown. We're going to be stuck in the middle of Giant Eagle. People are going to be looking at me. They're going to be like, what is wrong with this woman? So at finally 9 months, like, I started slowly, started doing it. You know, I finally went back to the doctors and, you know, got myself situated, and I've been feeling a lot better. And, like, I'm slowly, probably the last 2 months, I'm slowly starting to come out of postpartum. Like, I didn't realize that this stuff was real. I didn't want to believe that it was real, and it is real, okay? And I didn't know it could last this long either. And I'm just, you know, I tell myself now, like, if I can make it through that, I can make it through anything, for real. That was some of the darkest days of my life compared to using, even. Like, the darkest days using and the darkest days postpartum are very equal. Because I just didn't want to live. I just wanted to leave everything because I just couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle nothing. I was afraid so much that I was going to be like my mom and leave. I didn't want to do that to my child, so I might as well just do it now and get it over with. disease, just running through my head and controlling my every move. And I finally just surrendered and was like, you know what? Once again, here I am. I can do this. I can be a mother. And I am. And I think I'm a damn good one, too. And I'm proud of myself. Because I never even thought that I could be a mom. And here I am, a mother. And it's a, I love babies, okay? Like, I love babies. Oh gosh, I wish I could have, you know, 15 of them. But then I remember, like, to me, you know what you just went through. You probably want to wait a longer. But I want to hold your babies, you know? Let me just hold everyone else's babies and then I'll give them back and, you know, think about my choices here. So, my sponsor at the time really got me through my pregnancy. You know, I'd call her and she would just explain to me everything that I needed to hear and, you know, actually explain. Not even explain, like, she just told me everything is going to be okay. I'm like, yeah, that just that simple word, okay, everything's going to be okay. You know, later on down the road here about, I don't know, what's it been, 2 months? No, like a month and a half, she relapsed. And like that really hurt me. It really messed me up, to be honest, because I didn't want to have to start over again. I didn't want to have to go out and look for a new sponsor. I didn't want to have to build another relationship with another woman again. Once again, my abandonment issues are coming in. Why do I have to keep on starting over? I do not want to keep starting over with building relationships in my life. This is exactly why I don't have close friendships, because I'd rather just isolate myself inside my house with my family, and that's it. And be miserable. But I'd rather do those things and build friendships with people. Why? Because I'm constantly trying to protect my heart from pain, but here I am causing myself pain. This disease is so funny. It's not funny. You know what I mean when I say that. But, you know, I remember sitting with my friend here and looking at her saying, I don't want to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous anymore. I was already contemplating this before this happened because, like I said, my expectations, people were acting like goons out here. You know, we were talking about this the other day too, because she, you know, was doing an 8-step or whatever. I have compassion for people. I really do. I really do. In certain areas, but when you continue to do the same damn shit and you continue to cause yourself all your pain, I have zero tolerance. Zero. And like, I'm really trying to, because I love people with conditions. Like, there's a condition. You know, I really haven't figured out how to unconditionally love completely, because I just get so irritated. Like, why do you keep doing this? I can't even talk to you anymore. You know, you fucking drain my spirit, man. I can't help you. But is that the right choice? Probably not, but I don't know. I'm in my process, and I'm just trying to figure it out. And, you know, I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, because without this program, like, I would not be standing here right now. I'm about to turn 26 next month, and that's crazy for me to say, because I'm really about to turn 26 years old. I never thought I would make it to 26 years old. Two, oh my God, I'm working on 30.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm having a quarter-life century crisis. I turned 25 last year and cried, okay? Okay. All right. And honestly, what the underlying issue is like, I'm growing up. I'm an adult. I'm a mother. I'm a significant other. I'm a productive member of society. I show up to work. I do, you know, responsible things. I walk with integrity. I really do. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that, like, I walk with it and then you leave me and then you watch me. No, I walk with integrity. I cannot live the life of being dirty, okay? I can't stand myself. I'll be pacing around like, oh my gosh, I need to, you know. I don't want to do that to myself. I always try to wake up and be a better woman every single day. I fall short every single day, but I just try to be a better person the next day. Like I said, I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, please stay. All you women sitting here right now, please stay. Because, like, I need you too. I need you. Thanks for letting me share.